4, and we're talking about the ark. An ark. And I told you, I know why the ark flew. It flew by itself. I know. I'm going to tell you. But in the Old Testament, you got the tabernacle that started out. Moses, God gave him all the instructions for the tabernacle. And on the outside, it was ugly, but on the inside, it was beautiful. And then the Levites had to tear it down. God gave them all the details, all the different size of boards. Everything had to be done. So when the temple, when the permanent, that was a temporary. But when the permanent got done, then, you know, Solomon or David prepared for it, and then Solomon had it built, and was there until it was destroyed. You say, why was it destroyed? Because God got sick with them. God got sick of the Jews. They were putting on a religious ceremony, religious act. And they carried on like, okay, here's a God in heaven that destroyed nations before them, and a God in heaven that, man, just did all kinds of great miracles and all this stuff. And the Jews, they got used to him. They got carrying on. Just like us Christians, we get used to God, and we just carry on, go to church. We just do our thing. We're not really into it. It's not real to us. When Squeaky's daddy, before he died, he ran up and down this aisle yelling, it better be real. I want it to be real. I want my worship and my service for God to be real. I don't want to get up here and be a phony. Amen. I don't want to get up here and sing Beulah Land or sing the songs we sang and not mean it with all my heart. There's times, you say everybody goes through it. I mean, there's times I've got up and I've done it, went through the motions, and I just went through the motions and did what I had to do. And I've gone into my office and fell on my face and said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not having a passion for it. And the Jews, man, now I'm not saying all the Jews, but as a whole, the nation, God dealt with them as a whole. They didn't have the passion. And then it became a ritual and ceremonies, and they went through all these different ceremonies, and it became a put on, really. And that Lord got sick of it, and he got sick of it, and he got sick of them, and, you know, and he's just, he destroyed it. He allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come and wipe the place out because they wouldn't even obey his laws. And then you get, when Rome came in, God allowed Rome to destroy the temple, the temple that was built, rebuilt, and then now the third temple is getting ready to be built. That thing's getting ready. Over in Jerusalem, they're getting ready to build that thing, man. And when we was over there, they said, I went through the Temple Institute, and I've told you this before, I went through every room where they had every detail for the temple to rebuild it. And I asked the guy, I said, do you have the Ark of the Covenant? And the guy's wearing sunglasses, and I started talking to him, and he says, I asked him, the candlesticks, my wife and I took pictures in front of the candlesticks out in the square, it's overlaid with gold. And we're standing out there, and I asked the guy, is that the original candlesticks? He said, no. I said, where's the original? He said, in Rome. We know it's there. And when Rome destroyed the temple, they carried that back, and they got it in the treasures of the Vatican. The Vatican's got all kinds of stuff. I mean, Hitler sent stuff to the Vatican. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in the Vatican. Billions of dollars worth of stuff. Billions. Not just millions. Billions. And And I said, that stinking Pope, I was saying a bunch of stuff. I said, that stinking Pope. I said, man, and the guy started laughing. He looked at me and started laughing. Then he took his sunglasses off and looked me in the eyes. And he was an agent for the Israeli intelligence. And he was in that Temple Institute watching as people come through. And I asked him, I said, do you all have the Ark of the Covenant? And he said, yes, we do. I said, where is it at? He said, it's hidden. It's underground. So, and the Jews thought, well, if we have the ark, we're going to have victory. We'll have victory. But the ark was built so God could meet with them in the Holy of Holies. And they put the Ten Commandments in there. They put Aaron's rod in there. And then they had cherubims that went on top of the ark. And they, where God said, I'll meet you in the Holy of Holies. And the high priest could go in there once a year. But when that thing was moved, when they had to move it, the Levites had to carry it. They had to carry that thing. And only Levites. And you'll find that as you read your Bible, you'll find that. But I wanted to go here in Hebrews chapter 4. And, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. Now, they had priests that were outside that dealt in the holy place. They had those, taking care of the showbread, the candlesticks, and all that. John the Baptist's dad was one of them that went into the holy place. And the Bible says, y'all read your Bible in the New Testament, you'll find Zechariah goes in there and an angel appears to him. He's in there for a long time. And the angel said, you're going to have a son. You're going to call him John. And he really didn't believe. And the Lord said, you're going to be dumb because you don't believe. So he comes out, he can't talk. And he gets a piece of paper and writes it down. And so when it's announced that the baby is born, you know, he starts prophesying, starts speaking. And there's strange stuff that was going on in Jerusalem at that time. Strange stuff. When Jesus Christ was born, there's stuff going on. Then when he was 12 years old, stuff was going on. And then when he was 30 years old, his ministry started. And look what the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and look at verse 12. And that's why, see, the devil wants to take the Word of God away from you. We believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And he wants to take the Word of God away from you because if he can take the Word of God away from you, you don't have no hope. You have nothing, man, when it comes to knowing what God wants you to know. When you don't have the Word of God, it says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And we say, what is that? When you got saved, God, he separated your soul from your flesh by the Word of God. And he separated that thing because the Bible says God did operation on you, which was called a circumcision not made with hands. And it was the Word of God. And he says that a two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing the asunder of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow and discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. You know, the Bible says the Word of God is a discerner of your thoughts and intents of your heart. That's why when you're reading it, the Lord knows. He knows where you're at in life. He knows where your thoughts are. He knows your life. So you start reading it, and it's like the Word of God goes right in your heart. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. A lot of times when I've been preaching, folks. I've been preaching out here and preaching, and while I'm preaching, the Lord cut me too with the Word of God. And, I've repented while I'm preaching. You say, oh, preacher, you ought to be clean when you get up. Yeah, I am. I try to be clean, but sometimes the Word of God will cut you. When you're slinging that thing, it'll come back and cut you too. And the Word of God is sharp and dividing asunder. So look at what 13 says. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. People think they can hide things from God. Seeing then we have a great high priest. There he is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I mean, man, we know he's our high priest. We know he's God. We know it says hold fast your profession. Don't get weary. I mean, you find that so many Christians quitting, so many Christians turn their back on the Word of God, turn their back on church. I mean, it says hold fast, man, your profession of faith. You know, hold it. Hold on. I mean, if we realize God holds on to us. He said he never leave us nor forsake us. But, man, hold fast your profession of faith. I mean, people watching you. And it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I mean, folks, I've said we preach a lot of funerals, have a lot of funerals, got one coming up. And people in this church going through things over loved ones passing away. And the Bible says God can be touched with those things. When you come to him, he knows. He knows what you're going through. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, I want you to see this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Man, we got access because of Jesus Christ. We got access into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest. Now notice, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. Man, we can go into the holy place and ask Jesus Christ a request and tell him something, and he'll take care of it. I'm not saying he's going to give you, all right, Lord, let me hit the lottery. Lord, help me. No, he ain't going to do it. No. So a lot of Christians, you shouldn't be playing the lottery. If you are, you shouldn't be. So what is $1 billion? Who cares, man? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I mean, we can come boldly. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the high priest. Amen. But we are, take your Bibles, look in Revelation chapter 1. Look in Revelation 1. But we are something to him. And he's made us something to him. That's why it's important for our hold fast our profession of faith. You say, well, I'm just a nobody. I'm just a nobody in church. I'm just sitting here in the pew. I'm a nobody. Nobody really knows. Well, to God, you are somebody. You belong to him, man. You're a child of God. You belong to him, man. And you ought to be praising him for it, thanking him for it, giving him glory for it. And it says in verse 5, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, on him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. When a preacher starts telling you the blood of Jesus Christ don't mean nothing, he don't know what he's talking about. I've been washed in the blood, thank God, of Jesus Christ. And have made us, look what it says, have made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, so on. So it says, he's made us kings and priests on our God. Now, back in Old Testament, who could only carry the Ark of the Covenant? Who could only take the tabernacle down? Who could only deal with all the holy things? It was the Levites, the priests, and only the high priest could go in and deal when it comes to blood and sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. Now, take your Bible, look in 1 Samuel. Look in 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter... matter of fact, go back to Numbers. Go back to Numbers first. Let's go back to Numbers. And when they came out of Egypt, when they come up out of Egypt, God gives them the instructions about the tabernacle and all that stuff. And God starts telling them, this is what you got to do. And he starts laying out the tribe of the Levite tribe. It's going to be the tribe that's going to represent the priesthood. And that only from the Levites. And the Levites could not own ground. They couldn't own their own ground. And now the tribe of Reuben got a piece of ground, tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Judah, all those tribes got their own piece of ground. But when it came to the Levites, the Lord said, no, you're not getting a piece of ground. But he said every tribe had to give them cities to live in, every tribe. And when it came to the tabernacle, they were the care for the tabernacle. And every tribe had to give cities. It was 42 cities that was given to them, plus six cities of refuge. And the Levites lived in those cities. And in the cities of refuge, if somebody was a slayer, you know, killed their brother or something by accident, or even they murdered them, they would go to the Levites, to that tribe, or to the cities, and then they would be put on trial there. They'd be protected inside that city. But in Numbers chapter 7, the Lord tells them about what they had to give to the Levites. And this is for them to carry the tabernacle. Now, the wagons later on, they don't need. They don't need the wagons when the temple's built. But here in the wilderness, while they were wandering in the wilderness before the temple was built, they had to have this stuff. They had to have it. And it says in verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1, and it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them. He set them apart, sanctified them. And the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were of the princes of the tribes, were over them that were numbered and offered. And they offered their offering before the Lord, six covered wagons. So what was these wagons? These wagons were to cover, to carry the tabernacle as they took it down. When in the wilderness, they wandered for 40 years, and then they ended up in Shiloh. After they got into the land, they ended up and they set the tabernacle up in Shiloh. And Shiloh was a place where God met with them. And so these heads of the Levites, look what it says. And they brought their offering before the Lord, six covered wagons, 12 oxen, and a wagon for two of the princes, for each one an ox. And they brought them before the tabernacle, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites. Two wagons, four oxen, he gave unto the sons of Gershom according to their service. Now notice what it says. And four wagons and eight oxen he gave to the sons of Merian according to their service. I might not have said that right. And under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath, he gave none. He didn't give to Kohath none. Why? It tells you. Because the service of the tabernacle belonged unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. So all the holy things they had to carry. The wagons were for the wood, for all the other things they had to carry, but the Kohites, they had to carry it with on their shoulders, and these Levites. So when in Joshua, in his day, go to Joshua chapter 3. Go to Joshua chapter 3. So when they go into the, they started going into the promised land to take it, so Joshua is in charge, and they're carrying this Ark of the Covenant. And look what it says in Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, verse 1, and they removed from Shittim onto and came to Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, that ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Follow it. Follow the ark. Follow the ark. And yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. He said, you can follow the ark, but don't get too close. Now, the reason I'm showing you that, God even in Exodus, the Lord tells Moses, tell the children of Israel, I'm going to speak to them. He starts talking to them. He said, man, tell them to stay away from the mountain, because if they get too close, this mountain's holy, they'll die. They'll die. And he said, tell them back off. And then finally, they backed off. But they're telling the children of God, or Israel, they're saying, don't get too close, back up. So look what happens. And it says, there became a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know that the way which you must go, for ye have not passed this way hitherto. For. So he's saying, we're getting ready to go into the promised land. We're getting ready to cross over. He said, don't get too close and just follow it. Keep your eye on it. You know, that's a good illustration of God's children keeping an eye on the Lord and following him. And, you know, saying, but see, here's the thing. For a child of God, you can get close now. You can get close as you want to. And you read over in Hebrews, he said that we may come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find grace and help in the time of need. You can get as close to God now as close as you want to be. Those Levites couldn't get that close. Or the children of Israel couldn't get that close. But you can. And see, in the Old Testament, that high priest was the only guy who could go in. Jesus Christ is our high priest. We can go to him anytime, day or night. You talk about a better covenant. You talk about a better way. And man, you and I have got it made. Don't you think the Jews would have, if they up in heaven right now, they would say, man, I wish we had it like that. I'm glad I'm not living in the Old Testament time. Boy, because if we were, brother, we'd all be dead. Every one of us, we'd be dead. We'd be a dead ducks, brother. And we, especially with Gentile dogs on top of that. We wouldn't even got a chance, got close to it. And here we are in the New Testament. Man, we got access to the throne anytime we want it. Anytime. And look what it says. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Amen. And look what happens. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest and bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. So they go into the water. You know, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. I like that saying, the living God. I'm not serving a dead God. I don't have to pick up a statue when anything happens and carry my statue with me where I go. I'm glad of that. You know how many people carrying statues? They got statues in their house. They got statues on the corner. They got statues in place. Even over in China, they got little areas where they have statues of Buddha when they put food out there. That sucker ain't going to eat it. Some bum come by and eat it. They put food out there all over China. You ever thank God you were born in America? You ever thank God you're a Christian, got saved, you heard the truth? Man, you thank God for a lot of things. I'm glad I'm not in a Muslim country, man, born Muslim, raised Muslim. Amen. I'm glad. Praise God. Amen. Man, you know, you say, why is that? Why is people like that? Because people dropped the ball. When Noah got off the ark, his sons knew who God was. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. Pass it down to your children's children. Mom and dad, you're supposed to pass what you believe from the Word of God to your children. Grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandma, pass it down to your children. So what happens if they reject it? Most of the time, the Bible says you train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll come back. He might go astray for a little while, but the Bible says he'll come back to it. If you train him upright, if you're not a hypocrite in front of him. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. And and he will without fail, drive out from before for you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gershonites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and all the mites, and termites, and all the rest of it. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel. We read this last time. Out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the sole of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the water of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. It, same thing that happened in the Red Sea, but what happened was Moses just took his rod in the Red Sea and touched the sea, and it opened up. And here, Joshua, they've already got all the instruments. They got everything made through the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy and so on, Leviticus. And they get all this stuff made, and now they're going on a new venture. And God said, I'm going to exalt you, Joshua. Why? Because Moses was one of the greatest leaders of Israel of all time. Yeah. Moses. What a thing. So take your Bible, look in Joshua chapter 4. Look at Joshua 4. Joshua 4, look at verse 5. And it says, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that it may be a sign among you, that when your children ask you that your fathers, the time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? He's saying, you take it up, you take a stone out of that middle of that ocean, put some there, and then put them up on the shore. And he said, and when you pass over. And the Bible says, ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when ye pass over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, took up the 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place that they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And the priests that bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted, passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over. And the priest in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gath, and the half tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto the battle to the plain of Jericho. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and that they feared. And as they feared Moses all the days of his life, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command ye the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come not up out of Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up ye up out of the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up onto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto the place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. So here they're carrying these stones, man, they're going through there, and they come across, and they go up, and they run into a place called Jericho. They go to Jericho. And Jericho is the first battle that they go into right there and at that time. Now, take your Bibles, if you would. I'll look at 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Everything, the Bible says everything in heaven and down, it was a pattern. And what you have, everything God set up is a pattern. And then when you come to the New Testament, it's also, we got a pattern. It's a pattern for you and I as children of God. Now there's a lot of people claiming that they're Jews and they're not. And we know that from the book of Revelation. And we're not Jews. We're spiritually, we're Jews in that sense, Abraham's seed by faith. But we're not physical Jews. We're not. The worldwide Church of God, they claim, you know, that all the promises God gave to Abraham for the Jews is theirs as well. And then you got the Mormons. They claim that they have the same. They claim they came from the tribe of Ephraim, which is another lie. Then the Mormons didn't come from the tribe of Ephraim. They did a DNA testing. They found there's not a Jew in the crowd. There's not a Jew in a Mormon whole church. And there might be some, you know, that, but they're not from the tribe of Ephraim. And we'll have to get, that's another study. But you got all these religions, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they claim that they take the place of the Jews, the 144,000, all that stuff, they claim they got that. So all these people try to claim the promises that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying that they are now the physical Jews. They're liars. They're all liars. The Bible tells us that. But as a child of God, you are a spiritual, by faith, a child of Abraham and a child of God. But look at this. And second, or 1 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse 5. Verse 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones. That's what made me think about these stones. They put stones in the middle of Jordan, and they put stones as a testimony. And it says, are built up a spiritual house. Now, I know some preachers that preach that you're building your mansion right now by how you live for God. Now, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, some of them, they got scripture on it. I don't believe that. Because if we get to heaven, it's going to look like a bomb went off because half the Christians ain't going to finish. They're going to start something and they ain't going to finish it. There'd be a bunch of non-roofs, non-window, half-walled houses, mansions, supposedly. Yeah, give you a project when you get there. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Now, I know this. The Bible talks about your own body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know if that's going to be your mansion, part of your mansion to get to heaven. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of things people don't know. They guess at it. And there's a lot of guesswork. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know what. But look at this. It says, ye also are as lively stones. See, the Jews, when they built something like the tabernacle, temple, the Lord didn't want to hear a hammer, chisel, or nothing. They had to do it away from the Temple Mount if they did it. But when they built the altar, it had to be smooth. It had to be stones that were not chiseled or hammered or anything. They had to be by nature made. And when they built the altar, that's what it was. When Jacob laid out there in Bethel, and it's called the house of God, and he said, and though he built an altar, but he used the stones that had his head on, pillars. So, but here is something about these stones. And then Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is called a rock. He's not a stone. And he's called the cornerstone, that's right. He's a rock. When we went to Jerusalem, we seen the outer wall. It's not the temple itself, but the outer wall of the Temple Mount. And they were, man, them blocks are something else. They're huge. But he says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So as a child of God, it says you can come boldly to the throne of grace. You can offer up spiritual sacrifices. You say, what's the sacrifice? I guess it's yourself. What you do for God. Because the Bible talks about, I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans chapter 12, that you offer up yourself. Spiritual sacrifice. Say, Lord, I'm not going to pursue my own wants, my own desires. I'm not going to pursue all that. I'm going to pursue you. If those things come along for me to make a living, whatever, I'll do that. But my number one goal is to serve you. That ought to be every Christian's desire. My number one goal is to please you. That should be my number one goal. Whatever else comes, you say, well, I want to be a millionaire. Well, Doc used to say, God, you can tell what God thought about money by the kind of people he gave it to. God only gives people stuff that he can trust them with. Because he knows. Anyway, we haven't even got to the part I want to get to. We have to stop.